I'm Katie Frankowitz. You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. We have some flooding updates for you this morning as you navigate Oregon's north coast and southwest Washington. A caveat that in some areas, these conditions are changing quickly. For up-to-date information on road conditions and closures in Oregon, go to tripcheck.com. For that same information in Washington State, go to wsdot.wa.gov/travel. A coastal flood advisory is in effect for today. Be extra alert if you are in low-lying areas near bays, sloughs, and the lower reaches of coastal rivers. The Oregon Department of Transportation has closed US 101 south of Seaside to low-clearance vehicles because of high water. In Tillamook County, rivers flowing into the Nehalem and Tillamook Bays will be unusually high, and tidal overflow flooding is expected. This is likely to be minor flooding up to 1 foot above ground level during high tide in low-lying areas, bays, sloughs, lower reaches of coastal rivers. Be alert for rising water. US 101 is closed from Fred Meyer to the Western Motel in Tillamook. Highway 6 is closed at the railroad overpass. Miami Foley Road and Alderbrook Loop Road in Tillamook County were closed late last night because of high water on the roadways and won't reopen until it's safe for vehicles to drive through. There is standing water in many areas throughout the county. Schools in Tillamook County were running on a two-hour delay this morning, according to the most recent information we have received. Farther south, a landslide has occurred 3 miles south of Nesquin on US 101, affecting all lanes. Turning now to Pacific County, Washington, the Nacelle River rose into major flood stage early this morning, but has started to recede. However, State Route 4 was closed in both directions between O'Connor Creek at milepost 5 and the Nacelle River at milepost 6 because of high water. State Route 4 was also closed in both directions between Rosburg at milepost 17.1 and Grays River at milepost 17.3. Again, conditions are changing. Please check in with the Oregon Department of Transportation and the Washington Department of Transportation for up-to-date information. For Oregon, go to tripcheck.com. For Washington, go to wsdot.wa.gov/travel. This is KMUN. Oregon needs a new economic plan, and fast. Unemployment is going up. Population numbers are flat, and the cost of living is squeezing families. That's the takeaway from Oregon's political, economic, and educational leaders who met Monday in Portland. Kyra Buckley has more.
Every year, state leaders meet at the Oregon Leadership Summit. Their ideas and policy proposals often show up in Salem in the months and years following. This year, the message was clear. The work ahead will be tough, and if Oregon doesn't reverse course, it will set off years of economic decline. Governor Tina Kotek told the crowd that means the state needs to grow and retain current businesses while attracting new ones.
We just need more living wage jobs, and we need them now.
In the last year alone, Oregon employers have shed 25,000 jobs. At the summit, presenters offered policy ideas to make building houses easier and to change land use and tax laws to help create more jobs. I'm Kyra Buckley reporting.
Some flock cameras in Eugene may have been online several weeks after the city ordered them to be turned off. KLCC's Nathan Wilk explains.
Eugene asked Flock to shut down its AI-powered license plate readers in October amid public backlash. But as of Monday, Flock's data showed its Eugene police cameras had detected nearly 8,500 unique vehicles in the past month. Kai Fireside with Eyes Off Eugene says they notified the city about this last Wednesday.
Everything that we said could happen has happened. We told them that the police don't have control over these devices. The company has control.
Then on Friday, both Eugene and Springfield said they were ending their contracts with Flock, citing the camera's, quote, vulnerabilities and limitations. The Eugene Police Department and Flock didn't immediately clarify what caused the recent detections. Eugene's independent police auditor says he's now investigating the issue. This is Nathan Wilk reporting in Eugene.
A Nevada company is one step closer to building Oregon's first modern-day gold mine. OPB's April Ehrlich reports.
Paramount Gold wants to use cyanide to melt gold and silver from ore in far eastern Oregon, but it needs to get permission from state and federal regulators first. Oregon state agencies have published a slew of draft permits online. They include rules Paramount would need to follow to avoid harming people or wildlife, particularly sage grouse, a vulnerable bird species. People can provide feedback until January 29th, says Sarah Lewis, program manager with the Oregon Department of Geology and Mineral Industries.
We are really interested in how the public is going to engage and respond to these draft permits, and I want to highlight that we welcome all feedback.
This isn't the only element drawing mining interest to Malheur County. On the far southern end, another company hopes to look for lithium, a metal needed for batteries and electric vehicles. I'm April Ehrlich, reporting.
You're listening to KMUN. I'm News Director Katie Frankowitz. Just a quick note before our next piece. This feature focuses in on a business in Newport and is a bit of a divergence from what we would normally feature, but we do want voices from across our region, especially those focused on coastal communities. We hope you enjoy it. Let us know what you think. Email us at feedback@kmun.org.
The fishskin dog treats you see in a Central Oregon Coast gift shop may be from a fish you ate a few months ago at Local Ocean Seafoods in Newport, Oregon. Among the dozens of restaurants in Newport that process and serve fish, Local Ocean is an outlier in many ways. Founded in 2002 and situated across the street from the largest commercial fishing fleet in Oregon, Local Ocean Seafoods exists not only to make money, they also operate the restaurant and seafood market under the terms of a stewardship trust. The trust establishes Local Ocean as an employee-owned cooperative and also creates a perpetual imperative to help build a more circular regional blue food economy. The restaurant vows that it will forever continue to source direct from local fishers and showcase our local species, reads their website. Darlene Calafi, the 100% Fish Program Business Innovation Specialist for Local Ocean, has an office in the Central Coast Food Web facility just east of Newport on the Aquinnah Bay.
Each year we buy over 100,000 pounds of whole fish from family fishers, and with these whole fish, we process them in-house in our restaurant through our fillet operations. Depending on the species, a fillet might be 30 to 70% of the total weight of a fish. That gets enjoyed by our restaurant consumers and our seafood market lovers. However, the rest of the fish previously has had no home. So as an alternative to sending all that fish junk to the landfill, we launched the 100% Fish program to value add and upcycle seafood processing waste into consumer goods.
It would be difficult for a restaurant to successfully upcycle fish processing waste by itself, so the Central Coast Food Web Lab, as it's known, is a key element in reclaiming value from fish processing scraps. According to the CCFW website, their facility provides the services and infrastructure needed to overcome limitations in the current food system. They provide shared space and equipment at low risk and low cost to seafood and farm businesses to process, package, and store their products. The facility offers commercial-scale food processing capabilities. There is a door large enough to accommodate a tall delivery truck or forklift. There are stainless steel tables, deep sinks, freezers, a smoker, refrigerators, ovens, dehydrators, administrative offices, and cooking and packaging equipment and spaces. For Local Ocean and Darlene Calafi, the goal is to transform fish processing waste into attractive products nicely arrayed in retail locations.
We are making products for people, plants, and pets. We have some salmon stock, or bone broth, however you wanna use it. We are working on some sausages, some jerkies, and for pets, we have a fish skin dog treat. We're working on some fish cookies as well. And then eventually, once we get into the process, the part of the process that is no longer food grade for people or pets, we're going to plan on grinding up the rest of the fish meal and potentially make some fertilizers for household plant applications.
The notion of upcycling seafood processing waste is an emerging and evolving business model that falls under the rubric of the Oregon Ocean Cluster. The concept of an ocean cluster began in 2011 when a group of blue, that is, ocean-related industry organizers in Iceland, launched the Iceland Ocean Cluster. Quotas placed on the number of Atlantic cod that Icelandic fishers were permitted to catch put pressure on the need to maximize the value of every fish. They found that they used a mere 45% of each fish, so they set about upcycling seafood processing waste. And over a decade, they went from using less than half of every fish to 90% utilization and made money doing it. There is a long history in Iceland of drying fish for storage and consumption, but the fish heads were traditionally discarded until enterprising marketers found a demand for dried fish heads in Nigeria. Over time, entrepreneurs in Iceland began harvesting omega-3-rich oils from cod livers and selling it in capsule form. They expanded into making the supplemental nutrient collagen harvested from fish skins. They make fish-based cosmetics and fish skin leather. 10 years after the Iceland Ocean Cluster formed, the Oregon Coast Visitors Association founded the Oregon Ocean Cluster with money from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The Oregon Cluster is one of 5 in the United States and one of 12 established worldwide. Each cluster sets its own priorities. Supply chain disruptions during the COVID-19 pandemic led Oregon Ocean Cluster researchers to discover that 90% of the seafood consumed in coastal communities is imported, while almost all of the seafood landed in Oregon is consumed elsewhere. This knowledge led the Oregon Cluster to focus on making local seafood easier to find and buy locally, as well as on enhancing the vibrancy of local circular blue economies. In pursuit of the latter goal, the Oregon Ocean Cluster started a 100% fish program to help fish processors reclaim fish scraps. Local Ocean is an exemplar of this business model. Khalafi said that the catalyst for the Local Ocean 100% Fish initiative was a local grant.
100% Fish is a movement that has been spreading around the world, and when Local Ocean caught on to this idea, they wanted to be able to promote more seafood upcycling, reduce their carbon impact, while also promoting the overall blue economy. But in order to do this, we needed some funding to help us. So we got a grant from Northwest Oregon Works Maritime Development Initiative to hire me to oversee the program. And as of spring this year, we have launched, and you know, in the past few months, we have gone from zero to having 3 products in the market, and we are well on our way to developing many more.
To develop and produce viable products and find markets for them is a multifaceted business development challenge.
We are in 12 retailers in Lincoln County, and these are anything from boutiques to souvenir shops geared towards tourism. We're also in places like the Oceana Food Co-op, the Oregon Coast Aquarium, and then also the Maritime Museum and the Lighthouse. So really broadening the audience here, not only local eaters, but also people who are coming to enjoy the Oregon Coast as well.
The Philomath-based Reclaim Cooperative also works out of the Central Coast Food Webs facility. They buy lingcod skins from local processors and manually transform the skins into durable leather products using sustainable tanning methods. But other than reselling fish processing scraps for crab bait discs, Khalafi is unaware of any fish scrap upcycling taking place in and around Newport. She's hopeful that Local Ocean can lead the way.
As of right now, there isn't too much seafood upcycling happening here in Newport other than reselling fish carcasses and into the bait market for crab bait discs. What we aim to do is add the value into the price per pound for this product and hopefully raise all boats in terms of the economic opportunity here. As a small business, we want to demonstrate that this could be a viable revenue model for us, which is replicable all up and down the Oregon coast.
The products that can be created from fish trimmings is a matter of creativity and finding or making markets. From skin grafts for burn victims to dog treats, blue businesses are beginning to make money from a traditional waste stream. If you are a local fish processor looking to add value to every fish you process, Darlene Kalafi wants to hear from you. Brian Behuth, KYAQ News.
You're listening to KMUN. Healthcare providers in Idaho say Medicaid budget cuts that went into effect this month could cost a lot more than they save. NWPB's Rachel Sun has more.
A report by the Idaho Association of Community Providers and Idaho ACT Coalition says Medicaid program cuts could end up costing local governments more than $130 million in their first year. Rick Boyce is the co-director of the Idaho Association of Community Providers. He says funding cuts eliminated programs for people with severe mental illness. Now he expects more money to be spent on emergency services as people stop getting those treatments.
There have been people who have been stable on these services for the last 30 years, and for the first time, the state of Idaho is removing those.
Sarah Bennett is the owner of Riverside Recovery, a counseling service based in Lewiston. Her clinicians had been contracted with the state to provide assertive community treatment. She says that program took care of patients when traditional therapies didn't work.
And so they're just very scared and worried about what that's going to look like for them.
Approximately 400 patients in Idaho were using that program before it was cut. In Lewiston, I'm Rachel Sun.
Local and regional news on KMUN is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. That's all from us today. Thanks for listening.